He scores! Gilmore scores! With 1:03 left!
Off the glass in left corner to Aguilla. Aguilla to the left circle. Passing to Yell, a shot. Save made by Al Aguilla. Rebound. Another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts!
Flames Talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson.
All right. Happy Monday. Welcome to the final week of the regular season. And welcome to this hour of Flames Talk with Wes Gilbertson of Post Media. My name is Pat Steinberg on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. It is Monday, April 15th. And it is surreal that that's what we're talking about. It is surreal that, you know, we've known for quite some time that this group is playing out the string. I was talking to somebody about this today, about, you know, how long we've basically known that this is going to be the final week of the regular season and how long we've known that this group is indeed playing out the string. And yet, as they enter the final two games of the regular season, one more home game, one more road game, it still feels a little surreal that this is the end. And I think part of that is because they have been playing out the string for as long as they have. And they have been in this situation where we've been counting down to the end of the season for as long as we have. At least that's kind of the feel I've gotten. Hello, Wes.
Hey,
happy
buddy.
Happy Monday. Welcome back to Flames Talk.
Well, I appreciate that.
It's very sincere.
Sounded moderately sincere.
It's about as sincere
as Monday sincere.
Yeah, it's a very Monday
sincere, yeah. And I appreciate it.
It's been a grind for this group. They've, you know, trade deadline passes, they were still in it ish, but they have fallen gradually more and more and more out of it since the trade deadline, and now they're in a situation where they only have two games to go. They've been eliminated for quite some time. It is strange to me that this is the final week of the regular season, and yet there are things that there are things still to accomplish and things still to watch going into the final two games of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we started having a conversation actually over dinner in the media room last night about, you know, sort of how this season seems like both a blur and a little bit of a grind all at once. It is hard to believe we're into the final week of the regular season, but you know, for those of us in the storylines business, thankfully I think there's still some morsels to kind of hang on to here.
Well, where do you want to and let's start nibbling. Where do you want to start? Let's start with Andre Kuzmenko, because you know, he was a topic last week, no doubt about it, and every time he comes up with another multi-point game, he becomes a topic again, and well, lo and behold, multi-point game. It was three. They took one away from him. Ends up being a goal and an assist in Sunday's 6-5 win over Arizona. So now 16 points in the last nine games, and you and I have caught on the exact time that it started. And, you know, on the outside, you're about to throw a number out at us or some numbers out at us that I think are really, really interesting and frame the context of how good Kuzmenko has been here over the last little bit. But it sounds like an arbitrary date or an arbitrary time period, but it's not really, because it coincides to the St. Louis game when Kuzmenko was put on Nazem Kadri's wing with Martin Pospisil. That's when all of this kind of started. Well, not kind of started. That's exactly when
right.
This nine-game run started for number 96.
Yeah, it's not hard to pinpoint. I mean, and I happened to be away when that happened, caught up on the games on PVR, and you know, I can tell you that date becomes a real important turning point for Andre Kuzmenko, because I do believe we've seen a totally different player. I mean, that looks, number 96 looks like a completely different guy to me in these past nine games.
He does.
He's
and there are a lot of things that go into it. There are a lot of things that play into why he looks different, like a back injury that he's passed, like an illness that is no longer lingering. Like as Ryan Huska told us on the coach's show for Sunday's game, he's dropped a few kilos is the way that he's put it. I think the illness hit him pretty hard, and so he lost some weight there, and he's kept that weight off. And all those things have played into it. But you can't discount what being put on the cadre line does for this conversation either, because I don't think there's any doubt that that has brought the best out of Kuzmenko as well.
Yeah, it's been a really nice fit, and we've heard it from Ryan Huska. We've heard it, and he doesn't necessarily he doesn't speak the best English. You know, he'll be the first to admit that his English is a work in progress, as you would imagine from somebody who's learning a second language on the fly after moving halfway across the world for a new job. But
yeah, he's only been in North America for two years. Let's not forget, this isn't Zadorov, who's been here since he was 18 or 16 or whatever it was.
And so Andrei Kuzmenko will tell you that Nazem Kadri has had a big impact on him, that he's learned a lot from him. You know, the one thing we've heard kind of throughout this season about Nazem Kadri, by the way, the NHL's third star of the week, is that this is a guy who his leadership style is demanding, right? He is very supportive, and yet this is a guy, and you'll hear it from Martin Pospisil, and you'll hear it from Connor Zarin, and you'll hear it from others. When you do something that's not what Nazem Kadri expected or isn't up to the sort of standard that he has in mind, you're going to hear about it.
Yep.
And I do believe that has helped bring out the best in Kuzmenko, a guy who's had question marks in the past about his consistency, about his engagement level, those sort of things. Well, Nazem Kadri kind of, you know, he keeps you in the fire of the game a little bit. He's not going to let that part of it slip. And I do think Andrei Kuzmenko is the latest to benefit from.
Yeah, I like the way that Ryan Huska puts it a lot of the time. Sometimes he's like, he knows when you need a hug or when you need a kick. And
yeah,
he always adds the kick, because I think that Kadri's very good at that part of it. Like, hey, you need a little fire lit under you. Yeah, 91 will get that fire lit under you. He expects the most of himself.
Yeah.
And he expects that with the players he plays with.
Yeah, he expects it from everybody, but it's a different level of feedback when you're playing on his line.
Yeah.
Because you get back to the bench after a shift and he's going to tell you exactly what he thought of the previous 40 seconds of your work. And if you have the right approach to that, which I think Kuzmenko has, which I think Martin Pospisil does, which I think Connor Zeri does, if you have the right approach to that, it's going to benefit you. He is really going to help pull you along.
So back to Kuzmenko, because I am fascinated as to what we're seeing here. And I've been asking this question to myself. I've been asking the what if questions, what if this, what if that, for quite some time. But what are we seeing here? Let's not forget that all of this has been done with the pressure off. All of this has been done while the Flames are playing up the string. All of this has been done where the playoffs aren't a factor. And that all that is never forgotten in the front or back of my mind when having these conversations. And apparently the same is true for Wes Gilbertson, because this was Sunday night following another 2-point performance. Kadri and Kuzmenko combined for 5 points on Sunday in the win over Arizona. And Wes asked head coach Ryan Huska about the same thing after the game on Sunday.
I know that being with Kadri is a big factor of it. But when you look at the way Kuzmenko played in the past, I guess it's 9 games.
Yeah.
Like, are we talking about a hot streak, or are we talking about what Kadri Kuzmenko could be for this team?
Well, I mean, he's got a skill set that we don't have. We know that. Like, when he's feeling good about his game, we mentioned earlier, he wants the puck on his stick and he can make things happen with it. So I hope it's seeing some things that we're going to see in the future consistently from him. I mean, at this time of the year, sometimes it's hard to tell because the games are a little bit different for us in the situation that we're in. But he looks much more comfortable on the ice right now. So if this is what a comfortable Kuzi looks like, then we'll take that for sure.
So I don't know if we have the answer. I know that I've heard this many times from Canucks fans who listen to the program that, hey, it's great, he's doing well, but pressure's off. That's when a guy like Kuzmenko thrives. You know, it'll be interesting to see what you've got in him when he's back to start next season. And many times you and I have seen over the years, pressure's off, guys go on heaters. Does it always, it's not quite, but it's not all that dissimilar to great preseason, But does that translate to when the regular season starts? No, not always.
Right.
Very rarely, in fact. So I don't know. I honestly, I don't know what we're seeing here. I don't know what it means long term for Kuzmenko and the Flames. I have lots of what ifs, and I'm optimistic and more optimistic than I have been at any point since the Lindholm trade. But no, I don't have a definitive feel as to what we're seeing. And it's, I think, almost impossible to have that definitive feel.
Yeah, I'm with you. You know, I drove away from the Saddle Dome last night having, you know, just finished writing about Kuzmenko and sort of wondering in my head, you know, well, what do we know about Andre? And would this make him a player who's more likely to thrive in no pressure circumstances? You know, like when I hear about a guy who sometimes needs a bit of a nudge to be fully engaged in a game, you know, I sometimes equate that to those are the guys that you have trouble getting going at the end of a season when the games don't matter. And yet he's a guy who clearly is wanting to take advantage of this opportunity on Nazem Kadri's wing. But I also, you know, go back through some of his recent media scrums, and I'm sure you and I both remember when he described his season so far as terrible, and he talked last night about getting off to a bad start in Calgary. I think what we're seeing right now is a guy playing with a plus size chip on his shoulder as he tries to prove everybody wrong, whether that's the people who said he couldn't help a contender in Vancouver, whether that's the people who say his success last year was just Elias Pettersson, maybe even if that's the people who are saying now that, you know, his success is mostly attributed to Nazem Kadri. And I don't think people are saying that as a shot at Kuzmenko, but, you know, I think we're watching a guy who's pretty determined to make a point right now. And in the midst of an illness, in the midst of a back injury, he's now put up 24 points in 27 games in Calgary. If you put his pace since the trade, if you spread that pace across 82 games, we're talking about 40 some goals and 70 points.
Mm-hmm.
And while at first you're like, geez, I don't know if he could do that, it's what he did last season. And so the offense isn't necessarily a surprise. It's just, if you got a player essentially as a salary dump and he can turn into a 30 something, 40 goal scorer for you next season, whether that means you're cashing that asset in, whether that means you've found a guy to be the leading goal scorer for a team that's going to struggle to score moving forward, it, no matter what direction you go at that fork in the road, it's a good thing, isn't it?
Yeah, that's why I keep on saying, like, what if the throw-in, what if the cap dump also turns into something that is positive for your organization?
Right.
And again, I'm really curious to see when games are meaningful and when the pressure isn't off and all that type of stuff, if we see the same thing, because I don't know if we will, but I'm optimistic that maybe we can. And so if that's the case, then all of a sudden a trade with Vancouver on January 31st that already looks like a really good haul for the Flames gets that much better. And as you said, there's no downside. There is no downside to Kuzmenko playing well because, okay, well, then you're opening up. Maybe there's extension talks in 7 or 8 months' time. Or maybe at next year's trade deadline, he's on pace for 30 goals. You're like, hey, we got this offensive piece that we can dangle to a playoff team that could really use him. And team, okay, yeah, we'll give you something for that. Or there's just no downside to him playing better.
And, right. Can I add one quick?
Absolutely.
It also allows you to properly utilize or slot your young players. Like, it's become clear over the past 6 months that Matt Coronato is not ready to be a top six player in the National Hockey League. And when you have a guy on the right side like Kuzmenko, and he can skate in that role, whether it's for a season or two or whatever it happens to be, it sort of insulates your young guys. Like, I realize this is a youth movement and a retool, but you can't ask a bunch of guys to go from first or second line in the American League to first line in the NHL and think that it's not going to stunt their development or couldn't potentially stunt their development along the way. And a guy like Kuzmenko becomes a bit of a buffer in that sense as well.
Yep. Yeah, I'm curious. And on the other side, it was nice to see Kadri get a little recognition on Monday to kick off the week. Third star of the week, the NHL's weekly three stars. Like, I don't know if Nazem Kadri's going to bed any happier tonight than he was the night before, but it's still neat to see.
Yeah.
And it was cool because averaged 2 points a game in the last week. Part of that was his 900th NHL game, became the 12th player in his draft class to hit that milestone. So there's some really neat things that went into this week. And, you know, anytime a guy like Kadri, who is going to finish, we already know, with the second best point total in his NHL career, anytime he can get a little recognition for the season that he's had. So when we were celebrating his 900th game, or now talking about him being third star of the week, I'm here for it because that's been the type of season that he's had, and he deserves the recognition that he's getting over the last number of weeks.
Yeah, I'll tell you something else that Nazem Kadri is really proud of, and we had a conversation about this, sort of a conversation that, you know, veered a few different directions, and something that he brought up to me was how proud he is of his durability, as evidenced by the fact that he's about to play back-to-back 82-game seasons, coming off a Stanley Cup run and a major thumb injury with thumb, finger, I can't remember, I believe it was thumb, made, you know,
broken digit,
a significant injury that caused him to miss some of his summer training, caused, you know, him to, he didn't get a whole lot of off season in 22. And so the fact that he's now played 82 games, or is going to play 82 games, knock on wood, for a second consecutive winter is significant. And, you know, I sort of joked with him last night post game, you know, when we were talking about milestones, maybe a week and a half or 2 weeks ago, we were talking about the guys who could get to 30 goals, and it was Yegor Sharangovich and Blake Coleman.
Yep.
Nobody mentioned Nazem Kadri, and look, he's at 29.
Yep. Two more on Sunday.
I think he might have deflected that one in Anaheim.
He's fine. He's fine. He'll get to 30. Let Kuzmenko have that. I think so. I mean,
yeah.
He's the guy scoring the biggest goals for the Flames right now.
Yeah.
He, of course, third period down by one Sunday night. Oh, game tying goal, which Connor Ingram, a rough night.
Yeah.
But still scores the game tying goal. And then after Mackenzie Weegar comes that close to scoring his 20th, comes right back to him. He shoots again and probably would have gotten stopped by Ingram, although can't be totally sure with how he played last night. But just to make sure, really nice redirect, nifty redirect from Kadri to get number 29 on the season. So now Kadri is one away from his third 30-goal season, along with Coleman chasing his milestone and Weegar chasing his milestone. Like, these are relevant things,
yeah,
for a Flames team where they are right now.
Yeah, and I know you in a moment are going to play some audio from Ryan Huska talking about this exact topic, but I, on the topic of whether it's Kuzmenko or Kadri or any of these milestones, you know, you've seen me do this and I've seen you do this in the locker room of the Saddle Dome. You'll be having a one-on-one conversation with a player, doing a formal interview, and then you turn off the recorder and might ask a couple more questions just to get a sense of something. You know, here's something I've been wondering about. And, you know, I've asked a few different guys over the past week and a half or 2 weeks, like, this idea that a strong finish to the season could carry into the fall. Is that total BS? Like, is that just a storyline that we love to throw? Oh, you have a good finish and you know you'll show up feeling great in the fall. Or is there actually something to that? And every single one of those guys, again, not in an interview, not being quoted, not me sitting here saying, here's who told me this. Every single one of those guys has said, yeah, absolutely, there's something to it. And I think that goes into the milestone discussion. I think, you know, if Yegor Sharangovich, who just set a record for the most points in a season by a player from Belarus, if he goes home feeling great about his season, I think it's going to carry over. And that's why some of these milestones that you alluded to, some of the ones we asked Ryan Huska about today, especially for a team that's playing out the string, they do matter. I believe it.
Yeah. Here is head coach Ryan Huska on some of these milestones going down the stretch?
I mean, they matter. I mean, at the end of the day, you want it to be always about a team game, but at the same time, there are things like getting 30 goals or getting 20 for a defenseman that matter, and teammates know that too. So there's situations where if they can, they're going to do everything they can to try to help those guys score that goal. So as much as it is about team, those milestones are important because it solidifies the type of season that certain individuals have had for us.
So you've got Coleman chasing 30. He's going to, we hope, have one more opportunity. He's not going to play Tuesday in Vancouver, but decent chance he plays Thursday in the season finale against the Sharks. So fingers crossed, A, he plays, B, that he gets that 30th goal. You've got Kadri with two more opportunities at 30. Uyghur, two more opportunities at 20. He's already hit his 200 shot blocks, of which Wes dug up a couple of weeks ago. He will become the first defenseman to ever have 20 goals and 200 block shots in the same season.
First ever.
Player, yeah. First NHLer to ever do that.
Pretty neat double, wouldn't it?
That would be a double. Good little double.
Yeah.
I was thinking about how they do like triple doubles in the NBA. That's a little bit different. So just not going to go down that tangent. Waste too much time on. So yes, it would be a cool little double shot for Uyghur. And one more even strength goal, and he breaks a Flames team record for most even strength goals
right.
in a single season. He and Al MacInnis each have 16. So one more at 5-on-5 or 4-on-4, and that's 17 and a new Flames record.
It wasn't even strength, but that first shot on the power play that ultimately led eventually to the Kadri goal, mm-hmm. was that clean or deflected? The one that goes off the bar.
I believe that was clean.
Yeah. Okay. That close to 20.
Oh, yeah. That close.
Yeah. It's going to be, you know, it's something to grab onto. And, you know, it's easy to find motivation, I think, or find storylines as it pertains to the young guys, right? What would a little bit of a offensive breakthrough at the end of the season mean for Matt Coronato, who rips a great shot inside the post on that 2-on-1 last night? You know, what would this audition or what can this audition at center mean for Connor Zary? You know, where does that mean that he slots in moving forward? What is three straight wins in a National Hockey League crease going to do for Dustin Wolf as he hits the right? It's easy to find those storylines with the young guys. What does this latest call-up opportunity mean for Adam Klapka? Now, when you start talking about the older guys, you know, the guys who have been through the grind of several NHL seasons, I think these milestones become something they can grab onto at the end. And if it's not their own milestone they're grabbing onto, it's something that I think can have a significant effect inside a locker room. Right? Go ask Jonathan Huberdeau what it would mean to see Mackenzie Uyghur score 20. Because I asked him that yesterday, and you can tell, like, he wants his buddy to hit 20 goals so bad.
Yep.
I said, have you guys talked about it? Yeah, not since this morning. Like, these mean something to players, and I think it's always, I always find it to be enlightening when you ask a teammate about it, right? If you went and asked Michael Backlund about Blake Coleman scoring 30 goals, he'd tell you it's significant. If it was Michael Backlund who had a chance to score 30, he'd tell you, oh no, it doesn't matter, right? Nazem Kadri last night, I'm not really thinking about getting to 30. It's when they're not in the position and you ask them about a buddy, that's when they're going to reveal that it matters to these guys.
Yep.
And I think it is one of those storylines that's going to be fun for us, fun for Flames fans to follow this week in what are otherwise meaningless games.
Yep, 100%. Couple of other just quick hitters. Dustin Wolf, he's won his last three starts. He started three of the last four. They went with him on Sunday against Arizona instead of flip-flopping back to Jacob Markstrom, who we believe will start Tuesday in Vancouver. But I'm liking the way Wolf is settling in as an NHLer, and wanted to play this from Jacob Markstrom, who spoke Monday after practice. Was a full practice with optional participation. That's how I would put it. There were a few guys missing, but I think those were more maintenance, like, hey, vets can take a couple days off here.
Sure.
But Jacob Markstrom just talked about what he's seeing maturation-wise from Dustin Wolf. And I got some good insight from Markstrom and the relationship that he and Wolf have as they continue on playing out the stretch this season.
It's difficult games for sure, and I've been in his position where it could be tough, and you know there's a little sloppier game than usual. But you know those are games too. I told him the other day after the Anaheim game, it's kind of like we control the game and it's whatever 4-0, and then it goes 5 minutes and it's 4-3, and you know, as a goalie, you need to come up with that one extra save. That's all that matters at that point. You can't just like think about, you know, it's easy to let it just swallow you up. And you know, I thought he handled himself well, and you know, at the end of the day, and you know, for next season and for future years, it's you know, wins counts. They really do, and it's you don't want to get into bad habit of you know, don't think it matters, because it really does.
Yeah, I just thought that was interesting to hear Jacob talk about that that mindset and kind of what he imparted to Dustin as Mr. Wolf continues to get more and more acclimated into the NHL. And
yeah,
I like the way he's playing more and more comfortable. I like the way that he settled into the game on Sunday.
Yeah.
Yes, he allowed five, but I just thought that
Hated one, right?
And even that might have been tipped. But no, I didn't love that. It got through him, and he'll hate it.
Yeah.
So if a goalie hates it, you can usually say that it's a goal that they don't like. So
yeah, you know, when you have such a small sample size on a guy at this level, you can overanalyze every game, right? And so if we go back to that 6-3 loss, I believe it was 6-3 to the San Jose Sharks, whatever the final score, Dustin Wolf gave up six. If you go back to that night, it was like once he allowed a bad one, he sort of let it snowball on him.
Yeah.
Right? Whether that was him, you know, sort of giving himself too hard of a time, or for whatever reason, one bad one that night turned into a few that, geez, he'd really like to have those back. And so I thought that was a good sign of progress last night, or a good sign of maybe learning those lessons he talked about from the San Jose game. Is, yeah, that was a rotten start, right? You give up one that you'd love to have back. Suddenly they go hammer a rebound off the end boards, and you're 4 minutes into a game. Your team doesn't have a shot on net in, and it's too rip for the other guys. I just really like the sort of calm, steady at the rudder that they got from Dustin Wolf after that.
Yep. And probably gets one more game. He and Markstrom probably split the final two when it's all said and done.
That's the way I would do it. You know, I know sometimes there's some thought put into, hey, do we play our number one guy and, you know, the last home game, fan appreciation night? But the way it's been split so far, you know, the meaning that it always has for Jacob Markstrom to go back to Vancouver, I certainly expect to see Wolf against San Jose.
Adam Klapka recalled. More on him shortly with Trent Cull, the head coach of the Wranglers, joining us momentarily. Sounds like Klapka will play the final two games of the regular season. And the Flames have signed a really intriguing goaltending prospect on Monday. Valtteri Ignatiu from the Swedish Second League. He's
One more time for those who missed it.
I am fully not confident on saying this, but Ignatiu, I think. I think there's a Finnish pronunciation that I'm not coming anywhere close to, but Swedish Second League.
Yeah.
He is coming off a great year playing for Mora IK there.
Mm-hmm.
Flames have been dialed on this guy since day one of the second Swedish League. Not going to try saying that either.
Alviskan or whatever? Something like that. Both butchering it.
Jordan Sigala, the director of goaltending, mm-hmm. has been dialed on this guy since the beginning of the season. They've been watching him, looking at him, talking with him, all that type of stuff for the entire year. They've got him signed.
Jordan, who will join us later,
yes,
flew to Sweden to see him in December. Took him out for dinner, watched a couple games live just to see how the in-person scouting matched up with the video that he was loving it. You know, you talk to Jordan, as we will, you can hear the excitement about what sort of prospect this might be.
They think they've got something pretty cool here in this player.
And they've had some success with this, with these European...
Siggy's eye is pretty... Yeah. Look, if you ever run into Sigalet, and we'll talk to Sigalet to kick off hour two on this Monday, you see him sitting at Winsport, usually pulls up one of those wooden picnic-like tables, and he's just on his computer just watching video. You're like,
yeah.
What are you watching? Oh, the USHL, something or other. He is watching so much video, but that goaltending department has found some real gems. And so Ignatiu is going to come over and play in North America next season. They're expecting him to fight for American League time. The expectation is, I think, that Wolf will be in the NHL. So there's going to be, we never know how things are going to go, but there's going to be some, opportunity in the American League. Connor Murphy, Oscar Dansk, if he's back, Ignatiu. They're really excited about this player though. So, I'm curious about him.
Yeah. I'm it's funny. You and I would be the first to admit we don't know anything about goaltending, let alone the goalies, goaltender of the year or not, in the Swedish second division. But you talk to folks around the Saddle Dome, starting with Jordan Sigalet, they were excited to land this fish.
Yep.
And they weren't the only team that was sniffing around there. So,
yep.
Yeah.
They were the first one, though, I think.
Makes a difference.
Okay, it's Pat and Wes. We're underway this hour on Flames Talk from our Doug Lacey's Basement Systems downtown studio, your local experts for basement waterproofing, sump pumps, crawl spaces, foundation repair, and radon mitigation. They're all things basement-y. Visit dlbasementsystemscalgary.com.
Anything and everything Calgary Flames. It's all on Flames Talk. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, time now for the future of the Flames on this Monday. Brought to you by Oncolytics Biotech. Fighting cancer by unleashing the power of the immune system. To learn more about how an idea originating in Calgary inspired hope for many, visit OncolyticsBiotech.com. It's Pat Steinberg, Wes Gilbertson along with you on this Monday edition of Flames Talk. It's a Monday. We say hello to the head coach of the Calgary Wranglers. Trent Cull joins us right now as the Wranglers are playoff bound. We know that. They've got two more games this regular season. Over the weekend, they'll be in Abbotsford finishing off a stretch of four straight against the Canucks. And then postseason time, we'll find out where the Wranglers finish and who the Wranglers play in round number one. Trent, it's Pat and Wes. Good to chat with you as always. How are you on this Monday?
Good. How are you guys today?
Doing well, and appreciate the time as always. And lots to get into you get into with you on this Monday. I guess we'll start with the weekend. Couple of 3-1 losses to finish off your home schedule for the regular season to that same Abbotsford team. How do you look back at those Thursday Friday games against the Canucks at the Dome?
Yeah, just. Not enough. We didn't create enough, I guess you could say over both games. I liked our performance, our work better the second night. I thought the first night we were a little bit, we were slow to start the game, and we couldn't keep chasing it around the rest of the way, and nothing really kind of panned out for us there. We got two good goaltending performances, but we need to find a way to create more and kind of just on the side. Like, it's kind of sad because that was our chance at pushing to potentially get home ice, and
yeah.
Unfortunately, that's not something that's going to be in the cards for us now.
Well, and I know that's disappointing, and it was something that your group was focused on and was motivated by, and now that that's no longer in the cards, what is the focus going into these final two games against the same Canucks team? You're playoff bound. You know you got the playoffs, and that's what really matters, but you want to finish strong. I'm just, what are some of the considerations? What are some of the focuses going into the final two games here?
Just playing the right way. Getting back to our checking, grinding, we're a team that's not gifted offensively. We have trouble scoring goals, and that's kind of... I guess you can just look at the statistics or see that, right? But we have to check, and we have to be disciplined with our checking, and we have to be almost monotonous, boring, and yet the other side of that is tenacious and hard and very gritty. I mean, that's we have an exact identity that we have to play to every night, and it can't be 10 or 15 or whatever. It's got to be everybody every night. So and that's when we do those things. We can beat teams. We can beat anybody. So, and that's what we have to do, and that's, I'd like to hopefully get that right back into us this next two games. And, we've had a lot of variation and guys in and out and whatever, but no, it doesn't matter. Anybody coming in, they got to play the same way, and that's what we are. And the guys that have been in have got to play the same way.
Trent, is it a situation where you can, are you as a coach still evaluating some things in those final two games in terms of your best playoff line combinations, your best playoff roster, all that type of stuff? How much of that is there in these final two games from a coaching standpoint?
Oh, for sure. I mean, we're still we want to see who can help potentially put us over the edge somehow or help us create. And that's, you know, that could be a young guy. It can be an old guy. It doesn't matter whom it is. And not only that, but we want people playing their best hockey right now too, right? So, you know, whoever that is, they're going to get the opportunity. And so it'll be interesting for us. I mean, I'm happy with how we've progressed. But we got to keep going here, and we got to find a way to be, find a way to be stingier here too.
We are chatting with Calgary Wranglers head coach Trent Cull. He joins us Mondays on Flames Talk. Pat and Wes, as the Wranglers are rolling into the final week of their regular season.
Trent, I know I'm 1 week early for this question, but you know it's that time of year where, you know, everyone's talking about playoff matchups and, oh, geez, you know, this team's going to be a tough out for this reason. What's going to make the Calgary Wranglers a tough out come playoff time? What needs to happen for your group to sort of fit that description?
I was going to sound rude, but I think I just answered it two questions ago. And you know what I mean? Like, we have to know exactly what we are. And when we do that and we play to that personality and how we check and keep things extremely tight, our specialty teams have to provide for us as any playoff team. But we have to be stingy and we have to play 1-0 hockey games. That's just what we are. And when we have that checking mindset and we're difficult and hard and physical and when we're like that, we're a tough team to play against. And that's what we have to be. And it's not for 10 minutes or 50 or whatever. It's got to be right through. And when we do that, we play against the best teams. We've beaten the best teams. And that's our recipe. That's what we have to be.
The Flames were taking their team photo today at the Saddle Dome, and nobody had to tell Adam Klapka to smile for the cameras as he gets up to the NHL for a second crack. How have you seen sort of the impact of that first one? He plays four games at the NHL level toward the end of January. Since he returned to your group, what have you seen out of Adam?
I think that it's kind of reaffirmed some beliefs for him. And so what ends up happening here, and this is just as much my fault probably as anyone's, Adam's been one of our leading point guys almost throughout the year, and we've been playing him a lot, and we play him in situations to be to create offense. And so sometimes you get away from your identity of what's going to make you a successful NHL player when that's happening in the American League. And so I think that when he went back up and went there and then just come back down, I think that Adam is still, like, I think over the last 20 games overall, Adam's been our best forward. I mean, you know what? He's been our best player. And so he's deserving of the call, that's for sure. But also it's because he's still producing for us, but he's also a tenacious forechecker. He's a big man. He closes off space because he skates well, and he finishes on guys. And that's difficult to play against. And that's, you know, that's the kind of the things that I've been talking about with our group, how we have to be. I think he's been a pretty good example of that night in and night out.
I'm glad you brought that up because I wanted to ask you about that balance. Like, Adam Klapka is a guy who I believe is the leading point producer for the Wranglers this season, and yet at the NHL level, and we heard Ryan Huska talk about today, they want him to be the guy who's rumbling around on the forecheck. He might play limited minutes, and he's expected to kind of make his presence known in that. I think we had a similar conversation when talking earlier in the season about developing Cole Schwint as more of a shutdown type center. How do you balance those guys who, hey, here's what you can be at the AHL level and here's what you might be projected to be at the NHL level? Is there a way to strike that balance?
I think for me, you're just rounding out the player. Like, just because they're going to play that way in the NHL doesn't mean that they're not really good players. And what our job here is to do is obviously make sure that we keep the focus on what's going to make them good at the NHL level, but then also adding to it, right? Because not only if Adam's playing shortened minutes you know, maybe he's, like you said, rumbling around, to use your words, and then, but also we're hoping that when Adam does that, he's going to create for the Flames. And then when he does that, hopefully he's going to be, now he's had experience where he can put the puck in the net if he has the opportunity, or he can make a nice pass to someone after he turns it over under the forecheck. So I think it's all part and parcel, and it's just more making, a more rounded hockey player than just maybe a one-dimensional hockey player.
Trent Culls with us, head coach of the Calgary Wranglers. Two more games to go this regular season, both in Abbotsford this weekend. And then we find out who the Wranglers are playing in round one, where the Wranglers are finishing in this Pacific Division playoff picture. I do have to ask you, Trent, on Friday, a couple of pro debuts. And I know you've had a ton of them this year, but a couple of players that Flames fans are really excited about. Two picks from this most recent draft class. Let me ask you first of all about Etienne Morin, who made his pro debut on your blue line. I know you've been rotating guys in and out on that back end for quite some time, but tell us about Etienne's first professional game and getting him into AHL action.
Yeah, you know what? I thought it was a tough first start in the sense of there's a lot of penalties that were going on, but I thought he did it. Finally got himself into some more 5-on-5 action there as the first started to wear through. We took three minors in the first, is what I'm saying, in the first 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But you know what? After that, he was good. Kind of, you know, got his feet wet. Yeah, I think he was a little bit nervous to start. And, but then we got through that in the second period, third period. I thought he was kind of simple and solid. And that's all you kind of really want out of these guys. I mean, it's not like you're not coming into the AHL and dominating, right? You're just trying to get through and be okay. And I thought he had a good start.
And then Jaden Lipinski, I believe that you put him in his first NHL game with your captain on his left wing, and having Brett Sutter playing with him right from the get go. Nice guy to have with you in your pro debut. But Jaden brings that size, and you know that he can bring that part of the game. But tell us a little bit about Jaden Lipinski and his Wranglers debut.
Yeah, you know what, I thought he did a good job. He's kind of a worker, he seems to be, right? So he was easy to kind of shove in there, I think. And then especially with Sutt, like you said, I think it makes anybody a little bit better hockey player when they're playing with a pretty seasoned fellow like himself and with the captain. I thought he was simple and solid. I also thought that he showed like he's strong on pucks. He stopped on plays, you know, he wasn't like good. So he had some good habits, and he's a big man, you know, he's a young kid still, but he's a big young man. And you know what, it was nice to see him out there. I thought he was decent on some forechecks and then running into some guys. And so it was promising. You know, it was a promising start for him as well.
Apologies if you can't answer this, and I understand. Do you have a feel as to whether or not Sam Honzek's going to be able to get into any game action, or is that still very much up in the air?
No, I think what it was holding him out is injury, right? So
yeah.
That's why
yeah.
He came in and he had to take care of stuff. So I think he's going to be an option for us this weekend, and
okay.
You know, for sure, whether that's one, two, or whatever that is. But I think that the plan is to get him in there and hopefully get himself. Hopefully, he has a good game for us. You know, like I said to you, we're open, and we're trying to find the best mix of guys that can win us two hockey games in the first round, right? So that's I think Sam's a guy who could be part of that. So again, though, huge jump for all these guys coming in. You know, I mean, you're not coming in with an American League at the start of the year. You're coming in at the end of the year, and you've got a bunch of teams that are grinding for playoffs. So I know we're asking a lot of them, but you know what? It's just sometimes simple, solid is just fine too.
Trent, with that sort of same thing in mind, how would you describe the jump and what we see at the end of the NHL regular season is some sort of top prospects in each organization return to the minors if they've missed the playoffs, especially. How would you describe that jump from the end of the AHL regular season to the Calder Cup playoffs? How big of a leap is that for not even just a young guy, but any player?
It's so different because, you know, then all of a sudden you have maybe, I'm going to use your line again, you'd said to me, like, let's say Adam Klapka has been up for 2 months and he's playing 5 minutes a night, and you bring him back to the American Hockey League for playoffs. Well, you're expecting Adam Klapka to come back into the same form where he was playing, you know, 15 to 18 minutes a night, right? So sometimes it's a big adjustment, and my personal opinion's been that you need your other guys on your team to win you the first round. That allows those guys that have been up to come down to get their bearings again. They play a couple games because it's different hockey, of course, AHL, NHL, and also it's the playoffs, so it's going to be maybe even more physical than some of the games. Like, you know, I don't know how physical they'll say the Flames and Arizona's game was last night, right? So, you know, like,
did you watch it?
I watched, but I'm not throwing barbs. I'm not like, hey, it's the National Hockey League, you know what I mean? Like, but I'm just saying. So, but it's going to be physical in the American League, so it's going to be so that's been my experience, is that sometimes for some teams, and I mean, I've won it before as a player, I've lost, and then, you know, I lost in the championship a couple times as a coach. So I think it's sometimes that first round is crucial just to get the ball rolling and then allow those guys that are going to be really good hockey players for you a chance to get their legs underneath them.
You just mentioned your own, you know, history with having some deep playoff runs. What's this time of year like for you? What do the feelings start to become with the playoffs just around the corner?
It's excitement. Like, you're just trying to get your team playing the best that they can possibly be while rolling into the postseason. And I know we've got guys in and out and whatever, and we're still trying to, but the only thing I can say about this team all year is we've had that all year. It's been you get the press notes. I think I said this to you guys before. Like, our press notes of our lineup of who played for us, it has to go on two sheets of paper now, right? Like, there's been so many guys that have come through the door. And so we've dealt with a lot of that adversity. And but also, too, it's a little bit of like, hey, I got to make sure I'm playing my game and doing well, because if not, like, I might be out, somebody else might be in. And so hopefully that creates a little bit of desperation, and we're going to get the best hockey out of our team and our players when it comes time for playoffs. But I'm excited. It's always great. Like, it's what you work all year for, right? It's been a grind. It's a marathon, and this is what you're here. You're getting close to a finish line, so it's pretty exciting.
Last question for you, and it's funny hearing you talk about that right there, Trent, about, you know, the ramping up and the Calder Cup playoffs and how things do take that next step. And, you know, you'll have a guy in Matt Coronato and a guy in Dustin Wolf coming back. And you know, Wolf's been a pro before, but he's never really done this where he's been up in the NHL and then come back and played AHL playoff hockey. This is Coronato's first professional season. That's kind of what you're talking about. This is a big learning experience for both of these guys, I would imagine.
Yeah, well, I think that the great thing is with Wolfie, he's got a ton of experience here, right? So because he's gone through it, he knows exactly what it's going to be like. And I think I know he's had some time in the NHL, but maybe in a way, like, maybe he's going to be a little bit more rested, you know, because he's probably played a lot more hockey in the past in the AHL, you know. But then hopefully, you know, will he be still hopefully as sharp? That's the only thing you can go back and forth. And then I think with Matt, I think it's a great opportunity for a young guy who, and, you know, it's nice to see him, nice watching him yesterday. Like, I think he's doing some pretty good things. So I'm happy to see that. So hopefully he can translate that and bring that and transfer it here as quick as possible. Because the other thing is, like, it's so quick. It's a best of three, right? Like,
yep,
one bad bounce or one game in overtime, and then all of a sudden a penalty or what. Like, it's amazing how I've been on both sides of it. You get through that first round, awesome. But I've also been on the other side of it too, where bing, bang, boom, and it's like, oh man, what happened? You know, so we'll have to be ready, that's for sure. And we have to make sure that every minute, every shift, everything counts, that's for sure.
Trent, really appreciate it as always. Good luck this weekend in Abbotsford, and we'll set up the postseason with you in 1 week's time. Looking forward to it, sir. Thank you as always, hey?
All right. Thanks, boys. Appreciate you having me.
That is Trent Cole, who joins us Mondays on Flames Talk, the head coach of the Calgary Wranglers. Wranglers got two more games. We don't know where they're finishing. Right now, they're the 7th seed or the final seed in the Pacific Division, but they could rise theoretically into the 6 or 5 fairly, not easily, but there's a realistic opportunity for them to move that far. They won't be able to have home ice, or thus their pick of which games they're hosting in round number 1, But we don't know. Right now, they'd be playing Tucson. They could also play Ontario. There's one other team they could play in there, right? Who's the
I believe, and I don't know all the different sort of tiebreaker iterations, but just based on points, they could play Abbotsford as well.
Yes, yeah. Which, how interesting would that be?
Yeah, four in a row to end the regular season and then see
two
you in
more,
the playoffs.
Maybe three.
Yeah.
And the other thing that Trent, which is a real important reminder, best of three in round one. Now, the Wranglers and Heat have been fortunate enough the last two seasons to not have to play in that best of three. That's a scary thing.
Yeah.
Especially in this sport.
Now, it's also scary when the lower seed, which the Wranglers will be, show up with the reigning AHL MVP freshly back from the NHL between the pipes.
Not a bad thing to have.
Right?
Either.
Like, you go in, what could happen? The shorter a series gets, probably the more potential there is for a goalie to just take command of that series.
Yep.
And so Trent Cull's got to feel pretty good about the fact he's got Dustin Wolf coming back after the Flames wrap their season on Thursday.
And decent enough chance that Wolf would get a regular season game in with the Wranglers as well. So assuming...
Because he's talked about it, right? He's talked about...
The difference, right?
About the difference. You know, it... someone, not Dustin Wolf, but someone else in the Flames organization said it's sort of like, you know, seeing a big league fastball over and over and then, you know, maybe facing slightly different pitches at AAA the next week. And so, you know, if they can get him some at-bats in AAA this weekend, I think that's something they'll endeavor to do for sure.
So if we assume Wolf plays Thursday against the Sharks, quick hop, skip, and a jump to Abbotsford, and then plays Saturday against the Canucks in Abbotsford, and then into next week with the postseason beginning. That's probably the most ideal setup for Wolf, the Wranglers,
right,
everybody, and then see if Dustin can maybe backstop him to a run here. And getting Matt Coronato, who is their leading scorer, back too, that won't hurt either.
And correct me if I'm wrong on this, but you know that flight to Abbotsford on the weekend will have Wolf, Coronato, Soloviov, and Klapka, correct?
Yeah.
Sending four back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Soloviov and Klapka are the final two regular recalls for the Flames, we believe. Klapka recalled on Monday. Soloviov has been up for the last little bit. So, four guys heading there. Pretty good reinforcements to have.
Yeah.
Soloviov's what? Top pairing D there.
Yeah.
Klapka's their leading scorer. Coronato
would be their leading scorer if he hadn't been called up when he was. He and Dustin Wolf both played in the All-Star game or the AHL All-Star Classic.
Yep.
Not bad.
You'll take it.
I wouldn't want to play him in the first round.
And you know what? We'll have full playoff coverage for you of the Wranglers here on Sportsnet 960. The Fan, looking forward to that as well. That'll wrap us up this hour. Thanks to Trent Cull, head coach of the Calgary Wranglers, for his weekly chat with us. We talked a little Kuzmenko, a little Kadri, a little Wolf, a little Valtteri Iginiaccio, all of that this hour on Flames Talk. Still not sure if I am anywhere close to saying the newest member of the Flames correctly, but I think I'm in the ballpark anyway.
Yeah, you're all around it.
You know what? As long as I'm in the stadium, I'm just happy to be there.
Even if you're in the cheap seats, you're in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Thanks to Cam. Thanks to Shan, our producers this hour. And that's the future of the Flames. Brought to you by Oncolytics Biotech, fighting cancer by unleashing the power of the immune system. To learn more about how they intend to empower cancer patients, visit OncolyticsBiotech.com.